And I'll bet that we have the one and only Congressman Gresham Barrett on the phone with us.
Hey, Miss Ann, how are you?
Well, I'm good, Gresham. How about you?
I am great. It's hot in the upstate today, is it not?
It is hot. How about, where are you at today?
Actually in the Anderson area, just kind of moving around, trying to check with some folks, but it is great to be back on your show. It's been way too long, my dear.
It has been way too long. So what have you been doing? Keeping yourself busy?
Well, my chief of staff, my former chief of staff and I have started a little consulting business. We're trying to focus on some nuclear energy issues, and you know it's always been a passion of mine, especially when you think about what we can do not only for South Carolina but for this nation. And one of the things we've been pushing is SMR, small modular reactors. They're light water reactors. They're low heat. They're actually, you bury them under the ground, and South Carolina cannot not only be a leader when it comes to R&D with small nuclear reactors, but also be a source of manufacturing here in South Carolina, where we could actually manufacture these things to go all over the world. So we've been talking to SCANA, we've been talking to Duke Energy /Progress, and making some headways. Fukushima didn't help us a whole lot, but for the long haul in the United States and for the world, I think it is the right way to go.
Wow. Well, that's good. You know, there was something in the news this morning about how they're storing the rods, the spent rods or something, that has to do with the nuclear plant is changing how it stores its waste.
So,
that's right. I don't really know that much about it. But, you know, it's an issue that a lot of people are really interested in. But when that happened in Japan, it made a lot of people scared of nuclear energy.
It did. And unfortunately, Anne, for a long time, the nuclear industry has been really trying to fly under the radar. You know, they do what they do, but they didn't want a lot of people to know about it. But they have a tremendous story to tell. And one of the pitches that we've been giving them is, you know, that they, the nuclear power industry, has to be a little more proactive, because there's a lot of good things going on out there. And they do a... It is a tremendous source of baseload power. People might not understand that, but baseload power is the power that supplies, you know, our homes, not necessarily our cars and transportation. But as the automobile industry gravitates toward electric cars, if that is the future, we will certainly need more baseload capacity. So it's something to think about. And again, South Carolina can be one of those leaders in this field, Ms. Ann.
Absolutely. Now, you know, talking about South Carolina and, of course, talking about Washington, D.C., how do you think South Carolina's doing now? I mean, we've had a pretty aggressive, Governor Nikki Haley has been pretty aggressive this first half of year. How do you think it's coming along?
Well, you know, my hat's off to her. She's made some tremendous appointments. I think she's done a great job this first 6 months. A few stumbles here and there, but you know what? Any person in any new job is not going to be 100% hitting the ground running. But I think she's done a great job with a tremendous wall to climb with the debt South Carolina has. My hat's off to the legislature to try to stretch the limited resources we have as far as we can. But you know as well as I do, Miss Ann, we, South Carolina and this nation, have to be about the business of doing everything we can to promote job growth and job creation. It's all about jobs. It's all about employing people. I heard Newt Gingrich say the other day, and of course, you know, he's running for president, that if we cut the unemployment rate in the United States from 9% to 5%, you could actually cut your deficit in half. The deficit's well over $1 trillion. And that's just because we put people back on the rolls. We put people back into contributing to the system rather than taking out from the system. It's just common sense. One of my guys, or my guy, Rick Santorum, has proposed a 0% tax on manufacturers to drop it all the way down to zero, which I think is a tremendous effort to say, you know, we are about jobs, we are about manufacturing here in the United States, and I think that would be a tremendous boon to our economy, Sam.
Well, it is about jobs, and, we laugh about our young people getting out there, but the more taxpayers you have, regardless of what the tax rate is, at this moment, if we can just get them back to work and not have people claiming unemployment or not working, plus the attitude of our people would change tremendously. So many people are so downtrodden, Gresham, over not being able to find a job. People have lost their homes. It just seems at this point it should be over with, Gresham.
I couldn't agree more, Miss Ann. I mean, there's a lot of people out of jobs right now that have never asked for anything in their life, and all they want is an opportunity to work again. And, I know that the government, our federal government, I know that's one of the things we want to talk about is this national debt ceiling. They have concentrated on the spending side, and that's important. I mean, cutting government, making sure it's effective and more efficient, but we've got to be about the business of taking a look at our tax code and our rules and regulations that many times are so onerous on businesses that it literally puts businesses out of business. We've got to look at that side of the equation too to make sure that we're doing everything we can to encourage entrepreneurs, not discourage entrepreneurs.
Well, when you look at the forms that you get from the government to fill it out, and they say, this form will take you 20 hours, the paperwork that it takes. And I don't know, I've been in business for a long time, and I've seen them go from 5 or 6 hours to 30 or 40 hours to fill out that form.
Absolutely. One of the things that we've pushed for, one of the things I've pushed for, and people continue to push for, is to streamline the tax code. I mean, we have seen case after case after case. You call the IRS with a question, you have 5 different representatives, and guess what, man? You get 5 different answers. There's something wrong with that system. That there ought to be a simplified form, whether it's a flat tax, a fair tax, which a lot of people have advocated. I was a co-sponsor of the fair tax. But something to say, you take off your house, whatever deductions you have, here's your income, you subtract these two, and guess what? That's your tax. I mean, it shouldn't be any more complicated than that.
No, I couldn't agree with you more, Gresham. But, yesterday we had the gals from the South Carolina Educational Lottery on the show. It started me thinking, how about just a national lottery?
Ben Franklin called for that, and that's certainly something to think about, But I do think one of the things that we should look at the federal government is a decentralization of what's going on up there. I'm a big states' rights person, 10th Amendment, as I know you are, and there's so many things now, Ann, that the federal government is doing that they shouldn't be doing. And if we pushed all of these things back down to the states where they need to be, i.e., for example, road tax money. We send road tax money to Washington, and they in turn around and send it back to us. And unfortunately, for every dollar we send, we only get back 87, 88, 89 cents, depending on what formula you use. Guess what? Just let us keep our own road tax money. Let us keep our own educational money. Let us keep our own health care dollars. Let us solve the problems here in South Carolina, which are manageable. We know how to solve them better than anybody in Washington, and let's cut the size of the government in Washington and let them do what they're supposed to do, regulate interstate commerce and make sure we're free and safe.
Well, Gresham, the thing I can't understand is how we got to this point. I mean, you were there last year. You were there in Congress for how long?
8 years.
8 years.
Yes, ma'am.
And of course, I think part of the problem with Congress, just my personal opinion, is every 2 years you're getting reelected. So
yeah.
I think it has to be very hard to sit down and concentrate on the issues without wondering, am I going to be here next time?
And I could not agree more. I mean, when you run every 2 years, unfortunately, you never quit running.
Right.
So that's something that's always in the back of your mind. And I was a supporter of term limits before I went to Washington, and having seen what's going on up there over the last 8 years, I am a bigger supporter of term limits. I think 12 years, and the reason I say 12, Ann, is because it equates to 2 senatorial terms. If you can't figure it out in 12 years, if you can't be effective to your state and nation, then you need to do something else anyway. But we've got too many men and women, Republicans and Democrats, on both sides, that have been there way too long, that forget what's going on in Main Street, what's going on in the hinterlands, to speak, because you're so isolated in a Washington environment. I've been there. You're so isolated that you forget what's actually happening in your own town, for example.
Yeah, and that can be proven out just by the fact that Washington, D.C. has not suffered. I think their unemployment is 5% in Washington, D.C. The housing market is still good up there. They're not suffering like they are all across our nation.
No. There has been a growth in government at the federal level in Washington. I mean, people are buying houses, people are moving in, people are getting paid. And when you look at that versus what's happening in rural South Carolina, there is a tremendous disconnect, Pam.
There is. So, Gresham, you know, when we look at this debt ceiling, I know you were up in Washington, what'd you tell me, a week, 10 days ago?
Yes, ma'am.
You were able to sit down and talk to John Boehner and others up there. What are you seeing, and as you're watching what's happening now we've got the Gang of Six budget back on the table. Of course, last night the Congress passed cut, cap, and balance, and of course everybody's saying that's not going anywhere, but at least they stood up and did something.
Yeah.
Where do you think we're headed here?
Well, let me first say, I do believe that we need to extend the debt ceiling. It pains me to say that, but this is a wonderful opportunity for the conservatives in the House and Senate to make sure that we bring about true reform to this system, i.e. just exactly what you were talking about, the cut, cap, and balance, which Jim DeMint has certainly led, and I certainly applaud him for doing that. There's such a tremendous struggle right now between the House and the Senate, and certainly the presidency, that nobody wants to say that they are weakening their position. And like you said, I had an opportunity to sit in with Speaker Boehner last week and about 20 senior members to talk about just this issue, about how we can solve this impending crisis, because we cannot continue, Ann, to go down this route. And I hope we're starting to see a little light at the end of the tunnel, because if it doesn't happen now, unfortunately, the only time Congress takes a look at things is when it becomes an emergency type of issue. I always call it the alligator. The swamp is full of alligators, but you only deal with the alligator that's around your throat. The rest of them are just around your knees and your waist. And to lose the credit rating that this nation has, I think would be a travesty. But one of the things I think is paramount that the president has to do is tell the world that no matter what happens on August the 1st, the United States is not going to default. The United States is going to meet its commitment. And you know, we take in $200 billion a year. $20 billion of that is only is to our debt. So, you know, we can pay our debt. And then we can certainly make sure our Social Security, our Medicare, our Medicaid, our soldiers are taken care for. And then we have to make hard choices, like a businesswoman like you do, to say, yes, I can't afford this, or you know what, Ann? No, I can't afford it.
Yeah, or some days you just don't get paid when you own your own business. Have you ever seen that, Gresham?
Absolutely.
You pay
Absolutely.
Your employees, but you don't pay yourself, and you wonder how you're going to get up the next day and do it, but you do it. You know,
That's
I
right.
think that from what I've understood, though, Gresham, it's not just about paying our debt at this point. Don't the rating agencies, they want to see a movement to cut the debt.
That's exactly right. You know, it costs us X amount of dollars now to borrow, and unfortunately, we are borrowing a tremendous amount of money to run this federal monster. I don't know any other way to call it. And if our credit rating is diminished, then all that does is it costs us more money. So for every dollar that we borrow, we're actually paying more debt. But it just gets back to the common principle, and you know, we have to live within our means. We have to look at our budget and be fiscally responsible. And I think whether it's during this fight, which I hope we can, or sometime later, having a balanced budget amendment in the United States, I think, is paramount to the financial security of this nation.
Well, I think we're all in agreement, Gresham. But what did they tell, you sat in with Speaker of the House John Boehner and these others. Is there a willingness to work something out, or are we at an all or nothing, which, and now it looks like we've got this other, the Gang of Six is coming back in. That would have revenue increases in it. Yes, it would have some deductions, but it's like we're throwing everything up on the wall to see which one somebody's going to fall for.
Yeah. When we talked last week, and that was last Wednesday, so it was a week from today, it was that the House's position was pretty much in an all-or-nothing type of thing. And you have to remember, the House can pass pretty much anything it wants to. It can pass the most stringent requirements that you could think of. Unfortunately, once they pass it, it has to go to the Senate. And the Senate can take a look at that and say, well, there's no way we're going to pass this. Here's what we can live with, and I'll guarantee you it is going to be much lower. The bar will be much lower than what the House passed. And Speaker Boehner's contention was, and I think rightfully so, what he really wanted to do was to work out a deal between the House, the Senate, and the presidency to say, here's where we are, here's what everybody can live with. And then that way, when they go into the negotiations, or at least they go into the bill form to put it in front of the members and pass it, everybody knows exactly what the expectations are. If the House passes something now, which is very stringent, all the Senate has to do is mark it down and send it back, then the House is negotiating from a position of weakness, not a position of strength.
Hmm. Well, I guess the thing that bothers me, Gresham, is it's too politicized. It is too politicized. This is something that is about our country. This is not about whether you're Republican or Democrat. It's like get off either side here. Sit down like real people and work something out. And let's not. Somebody told me that there were too many people in the room when they were negotiating this with the president because everybody has a favorite program and nobody was willing to let this program go.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Ann, a lot of people are missing. Congressmen, senators, local officials, you name it. The true definition of an elected official is a servant. And, in too many cases, a lot of our representatives tend to think it's more about me than it is about you. Because it is not about me, it's about service. It's about moving the country forward and making a difference in this republic. And it is really unfortunate to see right now, Ms. Ann.
Absolutely. Trey Gowdy from up there in Greenville comes on our show quite often. And one of the things that he told us, regardless, whatever deal that they come up with, he is going to bring it back to his people here in his district, and he's going to ask them, how do you want me to vote?
Yeah. I tell you, I am so proud of the members that we sent to Washington this time. Trey Gowdy from the 4th District, Jeff Duncan, who took my seat in the 3rd District, Tim Scott from down in the Myrtle Beach, Beaufort, Horry County area, Charleston, and Mick Mulvaney from up in New York County in the 5th District. These are four of the finest men that I know of, and I think they're doing a fantastic job, and they're trying to do the right thing. They're trying to think more about the country than they are themselves, and I certainly applaud them for that, Sam.
So what do you think? Do you think that they're going to be able to put a deal together that doesn't get so watered down? I think part of Speaker John Boehner's problem is we went into the CR, raising the continuing resolution, mm-hmm. and when he walked out of that, he thought he'd done a good deal, and then he found out, whoops, it wasn't as big a deal as they thought it was.
Yeah, and that was part of his point last week. He said, I'm kind of new at this job, the speaker's job, and I learned my lesson. We can pass something strict, but when it comes back from us, or to us from the Senate, you know, with much lower numbers, then you have to negotiate somewhere in between. That's why he was emphatic that he would like a deal, again, like, not demand, because he certainly can't demand, but like a deal prior to going into both the House and the Senate and saying this is what we're going to pass because we've reached an agreement. So it is certainly a game of cat and mouse right now, but it is a very high stakes game, as we both know.
Absolutely. So, I don't think we're going to solve this issue. I know that we're all very concerned about it. What do you think about a short-term continuing resolution or raising the debt ceiling with a short-term? Do you think that's going to be a possibility?
It is a possibility, but I would use that as the very, very last resort. And, you know, right now, Speaker Boehner doesn't have the biggest bargaining chip in the world, but he has a bargaining chip that something has to be done. And I'm afraid, if we kick the ball down the road, you know, we're just going to have to deal with it again. So I think they're doing the right thing. I think they want to try to solve this thing. I don't think it's going to be once and for all, but I think they want to move the country forward to a more financially secure future. And I think that's the right approach.
Well, all right, then. I guess I think we ought to wind that up. And let's talk about for a few minutes, you are endorsing Rick Santorum for president.
Absolutely, and Miss Ann, I could not be more proud of Rick. He is a wonderful Christian man, a family man. He has the proven track record when it comes to life, when it comes to reform, as in welfare reform, as in foreign affairs. I mean, I don't think anybody out there has the foreign affairs credentials that Senator Santorum has. He served in the House. He served in the Senate. He's from Pennsylvania. And, you know, I know this man personally. I worked with him during my gubernatorial campaign. I worked with him in Congress. And I'll tell you one thing. When Rick Santorum tells you something, you can take it to the bank. And he understands business. He understands the onerous regulations that we have. He understands that we need to do things to encourage manufacturing. You know, it was the manufacturing end of our economy and caused the creation of the middle class in the United States. And, you know, when we lose jobs, we're certainly losing that way to empower the middle class, which is so important to our the fabric of this nation.
The fabric of our nation, yes, when they passed that little law that said that things would not leave the United States, and then look at us now in South Carolina, all the mills, basically, there's a few left, but mainly they have all left.
That's exactly right. And so much of it is, I mean, we have the highest corporate tax rate in the world. We have regulations that are so onerous that many times companies have to either close their doors or move overseas because they can't afford the overhead. We have a very litigious society, which means every time the manufacturers turn around, they're afraid they're going to get their rear end sued. You know, some type of tort reform, i.e. Loser pays legislation, I think would greatly increase that
Gresham,
that benefit.
I've got a great story about that. I bought some hot dogs the other day, and it said children should not eat a hot dog in a bun. Small children should not. They should be cut up, and they should be sitting down. And I said to myself, what have we come with here where kids cannot eat hot dogs now?
And it's the truth.
I'm telling you.
You know, and it's things that our manufacturers, our businessmen and women have to deal with every day. And, you know, based with a decision, I mean, if Ann Ehlers or Gresham Barrett, small businessman or small businesswoman, is faced with the fact that they're either going to have to close their doors and lose money or relocate outside of the United States where you don't have to deal with all these things, I think for many of them it's a no-brainer decision, Ann.
Well, you know, that's like the NLRB and Boeing going on here in South Carolina. You know, there's a lot of people sitting on the sidelines wondering where this is going to take us if, God forbid, that the NLRB prevails.
You know, where have we come to in our society? Where have we come to in our business environment where a labor union can tell a company, yeah, you can move to a state and you can set up your company as you see fit. It is just insane to think that this labor relations board could put Boeing out of work in South Carolina. It scares me to think of where we're going with some of this stuff.
Absolutely. So we'll be, of course, watching that. I did have our state's attorney, Alan Wilson, on the other day, and he said he expected that could take a couple of years to get that resolved.
You know, and in the meantime, you've got investors in Boeing. You've got other aerospace industries that may want to come into South Carolina and relocate to create jobs, create wealth. And they're sitting back thinking, well, you know, we're going to wait and see. We're going to take a wait-and-see attitude to see what happens to Boeing. They may get kicked out. They may change. I mean, if there's one thing that I learned in Congress that Congress does not do, unfortunately, and that's create a secure environment for investors, for business, for people. I mean, if you're going to have high taxes, you know what? Tell people that this is the way it's going to be from now on. If you're going to have low taxes, tell people this is the way it's going to be from now on. I was talking to a gentleman the other day that does estate planning, and he said, Gresham, when somebody comes into my office, I look at them and say, well, I don't know what's going to happen today. Come back tomorrow. There's so many businessmen and women that want to get involved in this market, but because of the uncertainty that government has created, it's just like you said, everybody's sitting on the sideline with a wait-and-see attitude, and that's not good for our economy.
Well, you know, I think the government should be revenue create. You know, it should be allowing business to create, not being just revenue takers.
Absolutely.
And
you know, government should create the environment and where businesses can thrive and survive, and then government needs to get the heck out of the way.
That's right. Well, listen, you know, what's in your future, Gresham?
Well, I don't know. A lot of people have said, are you getting back into politics? And I tell you, I'm a happy guy right now. I'm getting to spend much more time with my family and be in Westminster. Like I told you, I was in Washington last week. I got to the airport at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That's 2 p.m. And Thursday morning, I laid my head down in my bed at 2 a.m. So I think the Lord was kind of smiling at me, saying, you know, son, I do have a sense of humor, and if you really think you want to get back into politics, get a little dose of this. So, but I want to stay involved. I have a tremendous heart for South Carolina. I know that I can make a difference in some areas, and one of the areas we have tried to focus on is energy, because I know what it could mean to South Carolina families, and I know what it could mean to this nation to be energy independent.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's been great having you on. We're going to have you on more often to keep us apprised what you see, what your eyes and ears tell us out there. So we'll be calling you again.
I'd love to, Ann. And keep in mind that I'm headed out to Iowa the second week. I think it's the 11th through the 13th. I think the Iowa straw poll is on the 13th. I believe that's a Saturday. And I'd love to come back on and talk to you about what we're seeing out there, where we think that the election's going. My guy, Senator Santorum, is going to have to do well. He doesn't have to be first, second, or third, but I think we need to be in the top four to be credible. Because, you know, after that, things speed up very quickly. So it'll be an interesting fall moving into the presidential primary here in South Carolina, which is the first in the South again.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Gresham, I would love to have you call in and let us know how it's going out there, and we'll be talking to you. Thanks so much for calling in, former Congressman Gresham Barrett. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ann. Great to talk to you.
Bye-bye.